We're going to continue our message on the characters in the sermon, looking at the Sermon on the Mount. But before that, I just want to ask you, what do you think is the most quoted, or maybe I should say misquoted? See, if I said quoted, you all would have said John 3:16, right? One of the most misquoted or taken out of context scriptures that are probably out there. This isn't professionally, this is my own thoughts. What do you think it might be? God doesn't give you more than you handle? Yeah, that's sometimes taken out of context. Anyone else? The love of money is the root of all evil? Actually, usually people say it wrong because they say money is the root of all evil. And it's not. It's the love of money. But actually, anyone else got a guess? Hey, the preacher got it. The other preacher. Judge not. And usually that's where they stop. So usually it's like you say something and say, you can't judge me. The Bible says you can't judge me. Well, that's not exactly what it's saying here. And we'll get into that in a second. But people misquote that a lot. They use it as a thing to say, you can't say anything I'm doing is wrong. They use it to say, you can't look at me and say that there's anything wrong in my life. I'm okay. You're okay. We can't judge each other. Everything's fine in the world. And everything's not fine in the world. But when Jesus is saying, as we'll come across the scripture, in Matthew chapter 7, do not judge, or you will be judged. For the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is sacred, or throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. But of course, before we get into that, I want to take a look at a couple of people. And you'll find this scripture in Luke chapter 18. You all knew I had a crazy week this week, so if you're expecting a lot of slides up here, you're going to be disappointed. Just warning you ahead of time. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. It says, to some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down at everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you, I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance, would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. All those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. This Pharisee looked down at those people around him. He looked down in judgment, saying, I'm not like him. I'm so much better. Which is one of the things people often do when they judge. They look at other people to see how they measure up. And oftentimes we pick out people that are worse than us. Oftentimes we think of, see somebody who's a superstar and they seem to do something wrong and people judge them and stand over them. Because why? Because now all of a sudden this person who seemed to be so great, you're better than them. I wouldn't do that. I'm better than so-and-so politician. I'm better than so-and-so rich person. I'm better than God. Look how good I am compared to that person. You know, I'm so good of myself. I just think so well of myself because I look at other people around me and I know I'm better than them. And considering some of the world around us and how we pick and choose, how we measure things, We can often judge people and lift ourselves up and look at our own righteousness and say, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. I'm not like that guy. Here's the problem, though. Oftentimes, we judge other people on their actions, and we judge ourselves on our intentions. I intend to do good, therefore I get credit. That person isn't doing good. We don't know their heart. Maybe they wanted to and something happened. Well, I'm looking around and, well, Kathy isn't here. I'm better than her. Of course, I'm being paid to be here, but we're not going to talk about that. Well, better, you know, I wonder, she's just goofing off today. We all know better, right? She threw out your good knee. How much does that stink? You know, but that's what we do sometimes. We look around and we judge other people on their intent, on their actions. We choose how to judge ourselves on what we intend to do. The tax collector, by the way, this is a very bad man. He was, in a sense, was a traitor for his to his people. He was working for the occupying government to make you pay your taxes. And the way you made money as a tax collector is you took a little off the top. So if you're doing well as a tax collector, you took a lot off the top. Because when you came to collect taxes, you came along and said, this is what you owe. And here's the centurions and the armed guards behind me that are going to collect it if you don't hand it over. So it's, kind of like extortion. Well, it was extortion. It's kind of like the mafia. We're here to enforce the law, our law. And you're going to agree or we're going to break your legs. You know, so these are not good guys. Yet this tax collector comes into the presence of God and realizes, I'm a bad guy. He's not looking at the people around him. He's looking at himself. And he realizes that he's got a problem. And when it comes to God, when we come to God, we don't need to be looking around at the world around us. We need to be looking at ourselves and see where we are according to God's measurement. Because when we look around, we can always say we're better than somebody else. Even in prison, somebody can say, well, yeah, I'm a murderer and I'm a rapist, but at least I'm not like that guy. They actually have a structure in prison of who the really good guys are and who the really bad guys are. Like, you guys are all in prison? You know, yeah, maybe some of you have got falsely accused or something, but most of you are bad guys. So how are you? But we do that as humans, don't we? We judge other people to lift ourselves up. But when we come to God, what we need to do is not look around at the world around us, comparing ourselves to other people. Because either we will feel so horrible that we feel like we can't come to God, or we'll feel so much better we feel like we don't need God. Like the Pharisee who came in and said, God, I'm here, and aren't you glad I'm here? I'm so good. Aren't you glad I'm here, preacher? Somebody might come up to me and like, okay, we've got a problem, or you've got a problem. I don't, you know, this Pharisee came in looking around and thought he was better because he was judging the world around him. But when we come into the presence of God, we need to look at ourselves and say, am I measuring up to God's standard? And you know what? We don't like that. Because we remember the scriptures teach us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the truth is, we most of us know that. We know we blow it. We like to justify ourselves and say we haven't a reason for being the way we are. You know, I'm under a lot of stress. That's why I snapped at you. You know, we don't let other people off for that, do we? A lot of times, nah. We'll go to the store and say, boy, wasn't that cashier mean and rude? Like, what's their problem? And that's when you came to the line of going, that you got that the wrong price. But you had a bad day. They dealt with people like you all day, and they aren't having a bad day? Okay. We do this. But if we're really honest with ourselves, we know we've blown it. We know what the Bible says, like in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, we don't deserve mercy. But the good news is, the gift of God is Jesus Christ, is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We have good news, even when we've blown it. The problem is, at least some people go around and says, you know what, at least I'm not like a hypocrite like those people in church. But as most of you have realized, if you lived in the world, there are a lot of hypocrites out there in the world too. You know, it's like none of you have ever had bosses who said, I've got your back, until the regional manager comes by and then he throws you under the bus. You've never had people treat in the world be hypocrites, have you? Well, yes, they are. We have a very big group of those people. They're called politicians. They promise one thing and deliver something else. What is that? That's a perfect example of hypocrisy. But we seem to let that go, or we sort of accept that. So if we want to try to judge ourselves, we're always going to say we're good enough. Even the world does that. So when we come to Matthew chapter 7, people often use this as an excuse to say, you shouldn't judge me. Or people, you do what exactly it says. Because the problem in Matthew chapter 7, it says, do not judge. And the idea here is judgment. That idea that you are judge, jury, and maybe even executioner. You're trying to set yourself up as the arbiter of what is right and what is wrong. We've already discussed one reason we judge others is to make ourselves feel better. But judgment in Israel was actually supposed to be done by a group of elders after consulting God. Be honest, when we try to set ourselves up a judge of others, do we really consult God? Or do we pull a scripture out of the Bible and say, well, they're doing this, and the Bible says it's a sin, and just label them? That's what they did in the Bible times. That person was a sinner. That person was a tax collector. That person was adulterer. Yeah, they were, but you still have that label on them for all of their life. What's going on? You've served yourself up as judge, jury, and executioner. You're not doing consulting others. You're not consulting God and saying, God, what's really going on? And God, Jesus gives a warning about judging. He says, the same measure you use to judge others, because I'll be honest here, we are going to find ourselves judging other people, looking at their lives and seeing things. Thing is, are we going to do it with God's way or the way the world does it? The way God asks us to do it is to discern right from wrong and try to help others. Not to stand in condemnation, but to help. What did Jesus do? Did Jesus condone sin? No, he didn't condone sin. He didn't tell the woman caught in adultery, oh yeah, don't worry about it, keep doing what you're doing. He said, I don't condemn you, go and sin no more. To the people who came to him, who were tax collectors, who were sinners, he accepted them. Why? Because they were changing their lives. They were coming to God and they were no longer wanting to be in that lifestyle anymore. So he offered compassion, and he offered through his death, burial, and resurrection a way to overcome that sin. But oftentimes, if we're judging like the world's judge, we don't offer mercy. And Jesus says, if you're going to judge, God is going to use that same measurement to judge you. Now, some people will want to come along and say, well, I just don't judge anyway, and that way I can do whatever I like. No, it doesn't mean you get off the hook if you try to ignore everybody else's sin. Because I've noticed one thing else. The number of people who say, I don't judge anybody, if you really talk to them, they're judging people. They judge people in the church because they say they're hypocrites. What are they doing? Well, they're judging. I'm not like them. Yeah, you're judging. The warning that Jesus is giving, if we are going to judge others, that standard is going to be laid on us. So when we look at others and see their flaws, we need to be people of mercy and compassion like Jesus. And when we look at the scriptures, it says, what do we do about judgment? Well, it says, when you see a speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes, yet you pay no attention to your own, the plank in your own. The word plank here gives the idea of something that's blocking your vision. I don't know about you, but how many of you want your surgeon to come in and do surgery on you if he's got one eye covered and the other one sort of, can't see out of one eye and blind in the other? You want him fooling with you? No. Jesus says, if you're acting like that, don't. Take care of what's clogging up your vision, and then you can help someone else. See, Jesus isn't saying if you see a problem, you can't help with it. If you see something going on with somebody else's life, you can't help them with it. You can't help them get that thing out. What he is saying, you need to take care of your problem first. Make sure you're seeing clearly before you help someone else. Too often times, when people stand in judgment over other people, they're saying, I want to help in order to make themselves feel better about themselves and also to ignore what's going on in their own life. If I pick at your life, I'm not seeing the problems in mine. The problem is we have something in our own lives that blocks us from seeing. Jesus says we need to clear that out first. In other words, before we decide we're going to help someone else, we need to be asking God, God, make sure I'm seeing this right. Because sometimes what we think we see is not what's really going on. What we think we see is happening is not what's really going on. We thought we saw something, but actually what we thought we saw was something other than what it really was. But we are judging people on that. We're making assumptions on that. Like I said, we go to the cashier at Walmart and they're seeming like they're in a bad mood and we judge them but we don't know what's really going on. Yeah, maybe the person's a rotten person. I don't know. Walmart did a bad job hiring this person. Maybe so, but we don't know. Maybe the person too ahead of you was the person that you would never want to have come through your line either. You don't know. Make sure you're seeing things clearly. Because when you can see things clearly, that is when you can help people and not before. But judging gets us in trouble because there are two ways judging is abused. One is like the Pharisee. Pharisee used his judgment to lift himself up and condemn those around him. But also, judgment comes in sometimes. We saw, like we talked about last week, if you remember the story of Mary and Martha, Martha was all upset and worried. By the way, you may not realize, but worry and judgment go hand in hand. Because if you're upset and worried about stuff, what are you making? You're actually making a judgment in your life about what you think is going to happen. And also sometimes, because if you're worried about something, you're making a judgment about other people's hearts and motives. Because what did Martha do? Martha, Jesus said, you're worried about a great many things, but only one thing matters. And Mary has chosen that. But Martha was so upset and worried, and then she came to Jesus, and what'd she say? She made a judgment. Don't you care? Here's the thing. If we allow worry to come in our lives, oftentimes it'll come across into the area of judgment because then we start looking at others and we look at God and say, don't you care? don't you care? Because that's what Martha did to Jesus. Don't you care that Mary's not doing this? Martha stepped in the place of an accuser, making accusations. By the way, there's someone else in the Bible who's known as the accuser. Let's see, what's his name? Satan. I don't know, we don't want to be in that role. See, oftentimes when people's taken the role of, put themselves in the place of judge, they're actually putting themselves in the place of the accuser. They're accusing other people. Rather than trying to help or fix the problem, they accuse. And like I said, oftentimes I'm noticing and when you're reading this again, worry and judgment actually goes hand in hand. Because what are we doing? We worry about something and then we start making judgments on it. We judge God, we judge other people. We judge the fact that because the doctor didn't do it right, he's incompetent. Maybe he is, but maybe there's something else going on. By the way, I've been guilty of that. I've been guilty of judging doctors as being incompetent. Maybe they're not. Maybe they just don't know what they're doing in this area. And I should give them mercy because I've figured out something. I don't know everything either. I'm supposed to be more of a Bible expert, and I don't know everything, so maybe I shouldn't judge a doctor who doesn't know everything, because have you ever looked at medical books? I got a Bible, medical books. Who has the opportunity to know more? Probably the preacher. But I'm judging that doctor. Why? Because I'm upset, because I'm worried, and I'm concerned. And God says, don't do that. Because that same attitude you use toward others will be used on you. And here's the thing I've been wondering. It isn't the fact that God is going to judge us just on how we're doing things, but we judge ourselves too. And oftentimes when we're hard on others, we're also equally hard on ourselves. And when we don't show mercy to others, we also secretly don't show mercy to ourselves. So we need to watch our hearts and watch how we look at those around us. Make sure that we are seeing clearly before we help others. And we look over their lives that we're not standing in judgment over them to say, I'm better than you, or standing in judgment over someone in order to accuse them. But when we stand in judgment, maybe not word judgment is the word I need to use, but we discern what is happening in other people's lives, we ask ourselves, what should we do to help? Which brings us to the last part of Jesus' message on worry. He says, do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, what in the world does that have to do with judgment or with helping others? Well, let's be honest. Oftentimes, when we want to help someone, we want to give them what we think they need. We look at somebody and say, you need to be at church on Sunday. Well, maybe they do. They come back and they tell you how busy they are, how tired they are, and it doesn't end well. Maybe what they actually need is something else. I was dealing with somebody one time and I had the answers. I knew what I needed to tell them, and God basically spoke to my heart and said, shh, be quiet and love them. I like the idea about loving them, but being quiet was not the part I liked. I had the answers. I could tell them what's wrong. And God said, be quiet. Actually, he told me to shut up, but my wife doesn't like it when I say that. But let me tell you, it got my attention. What that person needed was love. They didn't need a lecture. When Jesus says, don't give what is sacred to dogs, And don't throw your pearls before swine. He's not saying that we should look at the world around us and say, you're just a bunch of dogs. You're just a bunch of pigs. You're worthless. And remember, pigs in the eyes of Jews were the lowest creatures. He wasn't saying these people don't need help. He was saying you make sure to give them what they truly need. What does this go back to? The idea of what Jesus said. Make sure you're seeing clearly before you're helping someone else. If somebody's having a hard time walking, maybe they need somebody to stand beside them and help pull them up and walk with them. Maybe that's the last thing they need. If somebody's broken their leg, dragging them up and making them walk is not going to help. It's going to make it worse, right? So when we observe other people's life, when we discern what's happening, we need to make sure we are seeing clearly and not judging improperly so that we can give what help is truly needed. Because oftentimes some people who seem to be most judgmental actually want to help people. They just do it badly. They need to get saved. They need to get in church. No, they need Jesus. And they need to be introduced to Jesus, maybe not in the way you think they should. Maybe they just need someone to come around. And when they see him, do this amazing thing. Look them in the eyes. I'm looking at Dale now. And just going, morning. Good to see you. Maybe that's what they need. And anything else you do, we'll be throwing pearls before swine. Yes, you may stand over and judge them and say, yeah, I know what Dale's like. I know what he needs. He needs a lecture. And he's got a sister over here. I'll be glad to tell him what he needs to do. I just opened a can of worms, didn't I?
He doesn't take you that well.
I don't listen to my brother either. And if I had a sister, I'd probably listen to her. We need to ask ourselves, God, make sure I'm seeing clearly before I help others. Because if I judge this situation wrong, I'm going to make a mess of it. If I don't discern this thing right, what's going to happen is what I'm trying to do that is good will be trampled on, and I too will be attacked. That's the danger we put ourselves in when we start making those judgment calls. We think we have all the answers. But we're not God. We don't often see clearly. And sometimes there are things in our lives that's blinding us. That we don't see it. So we need to make sure that our heart's right. That we're not standing in judgment like Satan or like the Pharisee. But when we're discerning what's going on in the world around us, we are like Christ, willing to offer mercy, willing to offer love, and willing to meet people where they're at to try to help them. And not giving them what we think they need, but giving them what they truly need. You know, somebody comes and I may say, you know, my back's hurting me a little bit. Somebody says, you know what? I know this great back surgeon. Whoa, hold it. He did wonders for me. No, I don't need a back surgeon. I appreciate it, but no, no, no. But if the person finds out what's really going on, they said, yeah, you know what? You probably shouldn't have lifted that thing you lifted the other day. You're right. So next time you're going to lift that, call me and I'll help you. That's a whole different thing, isn't it? Because that's offering the help that's really, truly needed. And in our world doesn't need a bunch of people standing over it in judgment, condemning it. It needs a group of people seeing people where they're at, what's really going on, and meeting the need that is truly needed. It's like the guy on the side of the road. Does the guy need 20 bucks? Or does the guy need the job? Does the guy need 20 bucks? Maybe he doesn't need 20 bucks. Maybe he doesn't need a job. Maybe he needs someone to come beside him and just say, hey, I'll help you. And walk beside him over the long haul. And by the way, that's the hard job. Walking beside someone as they slowly start to get to live right. That's hard. Standing over them and just saying, if you just do this, everything will be great. That's easy. The wonderful thing about God is when God deals with us, he's willing to take the time to meet us where we're at, to walk with us the long road to the place where we need to be. He just doesn't come up and say, here's the measurement, go to it. He says, let me help you. Let me walk with you. Let me meet you where you're at. Sometimes it is a hard truth because that's what we need. But more often than not, what Jesus gives us and what we need to give others is just love. To meet them where they're at, to give them what they truly need. The food they need to survive, and not something else. But returning to the Pharisee and the Sadducee and the tax collector, I wonder what could have happened, maybe what should have happened. If it was done the way it should have been, here, maybe here's what could have happened. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, I thank God that I do what I know to do. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. I am not caught in sin and do sin like other people, not like robbers, evildoers, or adulterers. Or, wow, God, hey, there's a tax collector here. God, what should I do to help this man? But the tax collector stood at a distance and would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Pharisee came over, raised the man's head and said, brother, you do not need to beat your breast, but if you'll let me, I will take you into the temple and show you the proper sacrifice you can give so you can be reconciled to God and your people. If that would have happened, Jesus could have said, that day, both men left justified. Let's be the second story, not the first. When we're dealing the world around us, let's offer love. Let's give them what they truly need, not what we think they need. And now, Father, I ask that you bless each one as they leave this place today. Lord, give them the wisdom to know what to give to those around them in need, to their families, to their loved ones, to each they come across. And Lord, meet them where they're at and bless them and show your love to them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you and go with God.